Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast, calling all warriors to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stay tuned for today's message. Hear the word of God, which will demonstrate that God is a warrior. This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast, coming to you from the headquarters of planet Earth to proclaim to you that God is a warrior. Amen. Amen. So glad to be with you today. I'm your host, Brother James, for another episode of the Warriors of the Bible. A few days late on the broadcast. I had some time off, so I took it easy for a little while, but we are back in, back on the battlefield. You know, we all need our little rest. God wants us to rest. And the main part of us that rests is the mind and the thought life. You know, you need to take some time yourself and just rest, you know, at times. And we're not talking about meditating on the Word of God or anything. Sometimes you just need plain rest, resting your mind. The scriptures show us that Elijah, the man of God, after the battle, the mental battle, of course, being threatened by, I believe it was Jezebel, he just needed to take some time off mentally, the man of God. And, of course, God found him and said, "Where are you? What are you doing here?" And, you know, basically said, "I just need to take a rest." And he was the prophet of God, used mightily by God himself. Elijah called down the fire of God, and the fire of God came down. So he had power with God, amen. But he wanted a mental rest. He needed a mental rest. We all need to take some time off from the battlefield and then get back onto the battlefield and go to war with the devil and take him out. Take it to him in Jesus' name. So before we get started, I think that was Jezebel that threatened Elijah and said, "You killed the prophets, I'm going to kill you." And, of course, Elijah, I think it was Jezebel. I'm not sure. It may not have been Jezebel. Somebody's out there saying that's not it. But the evil that came out of her mouth affected his mind, although he had just came through a battle of defeating the enemies, of defeating the prophets of Baal, and he just needed to take a rest. So before we get into the Bible study, I want to let you know that Power Warrior 25 is the email. You could drop me a line there, powerwarrior25@yahoo.com. Let me know how you like the broadcast. The other thing is, thank you so much, Father, for the brothers and sisters in India. My statistics are showing that I have listeners in the great continent, great nation of India. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters in India. Brother James loves you so much, and I'm so thankful what the Lord has done for me. And I hope you enjoy the broadcast. You can drop me a line. Let me know how you like the broadcast at powerwarrior25@yahoo.com. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters in India. And so we're going to get into the Bible study today real quick as we get right to it. I just got this in my mind. Who was this evil woman? Was it Jezebel or was it somebody else? I hate to be scripturally in error over worldwide radio, over what, 4 or 5 different radio stations. But sometimes I do that. I'll look it up. Praise the Lord. So let's get into the Bible study today, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 and 30, through 30. 28, 29, and 30. Okay, if you got your Bibles, you can follow along. If you don't, you can just listen. Verse 28, Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. 29, and Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels. Verse 30, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in the time, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come he shall receive eternal life. Amen. What a scripture we have there. Today's message is entitled, Making Mental Adjustments After the Victory. Make some changes. Making mental adjustments after the victory. Make some changes. Before I get into the Bible study, I want to say this is one of the scriptures that these money-grubbing, lying evangelists, preachers, teachers use to claim that if you give money to them, you're going to get it back 100-fold. I've seen it happen with some of these evangelists. I've seen it happen with all through my Christian life. And each time it's exposed that there's nothing that you can give money-wise, time-wise, nothing you can give will focus on money that is going to get you 100-fold in the kingdom of God in this time, not in heaven. Here, now, that whatever you give up through persecution, that's God's way. God's way is he will take what you have from you to give you more. Okay? And you can see right here, as we get into the Bible study, I'm off the subject, but the Lord wanted me to make a mention of this. What you are going to be in a position to have taken from you. Look here, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake. He never mentions dollar bills or shekels or coins or cash, checks. Nothing to do with giving money to somebody. And he goes down and says it here in verse 30. That you get it all back 100-fold in this time, right here, in this life, with persecutions. Persecutions have nothing to do with giving 10% to your local pastor Persecutions have nothing to do with sending money to some evangelist on television to get a prayer cloth to get your miracle. There's no persecution there. Persecution is these things can and will, depending on God's plan for you, taken from you. Homes broken. Family members walking away, not wanting to have anything to do with you. You can lose these things. By the way, you know, we forsake, Peter says we've forsaken, but legitimately what happens is they're taken away from you. They turn away from you. Amen. Family members, husbands walking out, wives walking out, broken homes because you've given your life or because God has called you to salvation. You will get it all back. I can guarantee you that. I've seen them with my own eyes. Whether it be new families, whether it be the old family reconciling or God giving you somebody new, you will get it back in this time, but through persecution. So, you know, I wanted to say that right now. In the Bible study, making mental adjustments after the victory. Make some changes. Listen, brothers and sisters. Peter is saying here that he left, or he left everything to follow the gospel, to follow Jesus Christ. Peter's mental state was the same after his victory. Our mental state after we go through something, after we get what God has promised us, which is always moving us forward mentally in the mind, taking the territory that the enemy has taken from us in our thought life through our years of living an unsaved life, years of living a life as an unbeliever, you come into the Christian life. When the enemy has strongholds over the way you think and the way you react. Amen. The mental state of Peter was the same after his victory because the battlefield is in the mind. Peter's mind did not understand. He did not mentally clasp and understood that what he gave up, he had already regained. See, the Bible doesn't have to tell us. Peter had property, and he had to leave that property, lands, to follow Jesus. The Bible doesn't have to tell us that he got a hundredfold, that God gave him back everything that he forsaken. The Bible doesn't have to tell us that he went back and spent time with his wife. He was married after leaving her for a while to follow Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't have to tell us, amen, that Peter's house and his brothers and sisters and whoever turned their back on him because he followed Jesus Christ, that he reconciled with them or God gave them more, gave him more brothers and sisters, you know, in this time. The Bible doesn't have to tell us all of these things, personal in Peter's life, because it's telling us right here, if this happens, this is the result. You're going to overcome every situation, as most personal as it could be, going to overcome every situation. Now, the thing is, your mental state is the same as coming out of the victory when you went into the battle. Because the mind is the battlefield. The mind, which is your thought life, ideas, your emotions, are not saved. That means you go into the battle as an unsaved person, although you are a son of God, the pony part of you, listen, the only part of you that is relating to Jesus Christ is the spirit man. The flesh, all through the Bible, it tells you not to walk in the flesh. It tells you to put on the mind of Christ. I'll give an example right now. Pastors and teachers, when they speak about putting on the whole armor of God, they call it our spiritual weapons, right? And I've probably done that too. The spiritual weapons of a believer is the armor of God. Because the armor of God, God doesn't walk around with legitimate armor. You know, you think about the knights, you know, at the round table, they had metal armor and all that stuff. So, but, you know, we all say, I include myself, that the armor of God is spiritual. And we need to put on the spiritual armor of God. The problem is, that's not really what it is. These are not really spiritual, it's not really spiritual armor. What I see, that when you are born again, you have all the spiritual power you're going to get. I'll say it again. When you are born again, when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost comes into you, into your life, into your spirit, amen, you have all the spiritual power you're going to get. We don't know how much power we have. When God puts on us the things that he puts on us, especially at an early Christian age, we think we can't do it. When we have, when we overcome it, we did not know that we already had what it takes to win. We think that we're growing spiritually, which we are, but we're just expanding the power that's already in us from day one, from the day Jesus Christ comes into our life and takes and moves into our spirit. Our spirit is expanding. Amen. So here's what I see right here. You have all the spiritual power you're going to get when you're born again. And he has a name, and his name is called Holy Ghost Power. Armor is always to fight or defend the emotions and the minds and the thoughts when in combat. I said this armor is used to fight or defend the emotions, the mind, and the thoughts when in combat with the enemy or who or what the enemy uses. Now, listen to me. Now, that makes sense. If you already have the power of God in your life, it's released through the attack of the enemy. The spiritual the armor of God does not protect your spirit, because the spirit is the truth, and the spirit cannot be lied to. The spirit cannot go through depression. The spirit cannot have its heart broken. This is why the Bible says if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And the desires of the flesh, fear is a desire of the flesh. If you've always been fearful before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to be fearful after. The Bible says, fear not. How can God tell a new born again Christian or a powerhouse believer to fear not? How can God tell Joshua, fear not, when Joshua saw with his own human eyes the destruction of Pharaoh and Egypt by the hand of the Lord God Almighty? Because, you know, the part of you that is not born again, that must be renewed every single day, every day, every 24-hour period, is the mind. Amen. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is entitled, Making Mental Adjustments After the Victory. Make some changes. Okay, so we see here, amen, as I'm going to give you a few ways here, a few ways to make mental adjustments that you and I need to make after the victory in that area. You know, this is incredible, isn't it? This is why we as believers never really feel that we got the victory in the situation. Although we look back with our own human eyes and say, we're out of it. We won. We overcame. But we don't spiritually feel like we got the victory. There's still some loose ends there. Well, this is because after the victory, and I'm using Elijah as an example too. After his great victory, as he called the fire of God down in the Old Testament to consume the sacrifice in front of, well, not consume the sacrifice, but in front of the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal had had their way all this time. And Elijah said, God, I need you, and God came through for him. Then Elijah, if you remember the story in the Old Testament, was threatened by the evil woman, and remember, your enemy is supposed to exude fear, something that is enmity against you, something that opposes you, is supposed to exude fear until you get that under control, until you get it in your mind that this is something I may have some things I can worry about, but not this. I've already whooped you. I've already came through it. I've already beat you down. I've already taken the territory. Amen. But what holds us up is after the victory, Elijah did not make the mental adjustment. And he actually went to go hide. We don't make these mental adjustments after the victory. And I'm going to give you a couple reasons why we don't make these mental adjustments. Because the battle is in the mind. One more time. I didn't say demons were in your mind. The battle is in the mind because God does not live in the mind and the thoughts and the emotions. That's, if God lived in your thought life and in your emotions, amen, then there would be no battle there. Now, transferring the truth of Jesus Christ, which is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost really lives in you. That's how you can listen to sermons, you know, all day long when you used to listen to your punk rock or your rhythm and blues or your heavy metal all day long. Something has changed. You're not the same person, but that's in the Spirit because God is a Spirit. Amen. You're listening to the warriors of the Bible. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters out in India. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. Brother James loves you so much. Always pray for Brother James. Today's message is entitled, Making Mental Adjustments After the Victory. Here's a couple of notes here. First, keep note of who the enemy used to take away your peace and sanity and vex your thought life in that confrontation, in that conflict. Keep a note. I don't care if you write it down on a piece of paper or you keep it in your mind. Why? Because you're still around those same people. God doesn't always take those people away after he gives you the victory. The victory that the Lord gave the children of Israel in the promised land, he still left the enemies there. I said he still left the enemies there. Well, they were still there. The Ammonites, the Canaanites, you know, the Philistines are the big ones. I mean, even though they beat the Philistines up and down the alleyway, they just couldn't seem to get rid of the Philistines for good. Well, that's because God didn't want the Philistines to go away for good because God is a warrior. He must have enemies, and the people of God must have enemies. They are necessary. Your enemies and your adverse situations come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Brother James, that's not true. You know, God wants us to have peace. Jesus said, you know, take my yoke and all these type of things. My yoke is easy. Yeah. Jesus wants you to have peace. And the peace that he wants you to have in the Bible is whooping on the devil, fixing your attitude, and getting your old nature straight. And that's how you achieve peace. Now, how do you have warfare with the enemy when you're whooping on him up and down? How do you have warfare? How do you have adversity when you take a good look at what the problem is you. The devil's stronghold on you. And you got to make adjustments to the way you think and the way you act. Amen. You do those things and you'll have peace. Jesus said very clearly, do you think I've come to bring peace? Nay, a sword. Now, how do you get that out of this scripture when Jesus said, I've come to bring division? The devil is the one that divides. Where'd you find that in the Bible? Well, this scripture, that scripture. You're okay, I'll go for it. But in this scripture, Jesus said, I'm the one, baby. I'm the one who's going to divide. He said, from this day forward, this will be three against two. I mean, you know the scripture. Once you understand that God is working on you, that you need some help, you'll make the adjustments. Because God's going to put you in the positions where you're either going to have to make the adjustments to become a new full man and woman of God, or you're going to go back, you know, to what you were. Keep a note of who the enemy used to take away your peace, sanity, and vex your thought life when you were in warfare, when you were in confrontation, when you were going through what you went through, that you've come out now. Expect them to continue this assault even though you're on top now. You being on top doesn't stop the mental assault. The mental assault is stopped by the truth that you came through it, that you beat these people. You notice I say people, and everybody else would say, well, it wasn't them, it was the devil. Man, there are no demons out there with other men married to you, cheating on you with other men. That's her. There are no demons out there cussing you out, knowing you're a man and woman of God, when other people, you know, there's other people that they used to need to cuss out. They've never heard you cuss and swear. They're going to use profanity to you. No, you're going to put that right on that guy there. You better get this straight. The devil may be behind it, but he needs a willing subject. Amen. You can expect them to continue this assault even though you're on top now. So you're on top. You expect who the devil used to keep, listen, to keep assaulting you mentally until you get to the point where you understand. The fact is, you've overcome. And when you realize that I came through, I've already beaten this situation, these things will stop. Amen. Also, I want you to look at these people. All right, I want you to look at these people as defeated foes and under you mentally. That's what I was getting to. In order for you to look at something as a defeated foe, you must get it in your peanut head brain. See, there's the spiritual, which is the truth, and then there is the human, which is not the truth. You have to take the spiritual, I'm sorry, you have to take the human aspect and pull it into the spiritual truth. You have to make the spiritual truth your human reality. Okay? I was born on a such and such day 60 years ago. The birth is spiritual, but the birthday is human. You have to bring them together. And the only way you can do that is put on the mind of Christ. Amen. I just said that God doesn't live in the mind. You have to bring him from the spirit man in you and bring him up to the mind. Not the other way around. What we do is we bring our mind, our carnal nature, down into the spirit realm, and it doesn't work that way. You have to bring the spirit realm into the carnal realm, amen, to equal it up. Look at these people as defeated foes. So, when you look at them and you say to yourself, I beat the devil, I beat the situation, and I beat the person who the devil used, then the mental adjustments will be clear then. Amen. Forgive all what you rightfully took from me after the battle is over, what you rightfully took from me, forgive them. I forgive you. You can keep it. Because if I hold on to it, I'm holding on to the demon that was used to offend me. But you do not have to reconcile with everybody. But you don't need to be around everybody. You don't need to have access to everybody. And everybody does not need to have access to your mind. So the same ones who the enemy used, you need to have very, very, very little access to them, so they cannot affect your mind again. Amen. This is how you make the mental changes. After the victory. In the warfare, you're just fighting. But once you get headway, you take everything captive. And you don't need to be around. Everybody's not your guy. You don't have to hate anybody, but listen, you're just not my guy. You're just not the kind of guy I need to hang around with. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. Message today is entitled, Making Mental Adjustments After the Victory, Make Some Changes. Time has run out. Until next time, may God keep you in perfect peace.